And for those that don't know what the book is called, you might as well share it all with us now.
Yeah, so it's published with Routledge, and the book is called, 1 minute, I'll just look it up, Referees, Match Officials and Abuse, Research and Implications for Policy.
I love the fact you can't remember the name of the book you read.
My assumption to that is Tom has written so many books, he can't remember which one.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Referee's World podcast, which offers training and education for referees of all levels. You can listen to our weekly podcast every Friday from 5 p.m, and now you can listen to our complete back catalogue by clicking on the listen section of the website, refereesworld.co.uk, or by visiting our YouTube channel. And of course, as always, you can listen via your podcast provider. Don't forget to enter your email address into the subscribe box on the website, and we'll notify you every time that there's a new episode or some news that you need to know about. My name's Darren Cullum, and I'm a Level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA, and this is PGMOL Observer and Southwest Pool Observer Coordinator Richard Mellon. And for the first time in months, Rich, we are face-to-face in the same room.
Yeah, you're all the way over the other side of the room, but yeah, it's good to be here.
I was going to say, we are socially distanced,
good to be here, to a manner of speaking.
So, great to see you. Right, we're going to crack straight on. This is an episode which kind of happened by default. So let me just set you up here. Just a short while ago, I thought it would be a good idea. Now the season had been null and void, not just for us, but for many across the UK at grassroots level. Thought it would be a good opportunity to perhaps use a body camera, okay, to record a game that I was doing, which is what I did as a friendly game, and a game that we'll go into in a bit more detail a bit later. And then I did it on a cup game the following week, and then it was highlighted to me by the RDO of our local FA that it was not allowed. So I've removed the clips that we put up on YouTube, and these were purely there as development techniques, and that was the whole reason for doing it. It wasn't for us to prance about and show off what happens on the field of play. It was basically to take certain little clips, perhaps a free kick where a caution was given, perhaps a situation whereby the referee, i.e. me, had to ask somebody to leave the field of play because they had some jewellery in that I didn't spot at the early part of the game, and how all that was dealt with. And that was the whole reason for doing it. However, we have had to remove these clips from YouTube. But off the back of that, we thought we'd speak to an expert in this field, Dr. Tom Webb from Portsmouth University, who's got quite a background in his knowledge of studying officials, but not just in football, in all areas, Rich.
Yeah, all areas, and I mean areas as regards around the world, but also other sports. Thoroughly entertaining, interesting, intriguing, all those buzzwords for me. Listening to Tom describing how he's done his role at Portsmouth Uni, and really look forward to it.
And so here's what happened. On the day that we decided to remove the video clips and have this discussion about wearing a body cam, we called Tom, and because of the setup here in our studio, the only way we could get him on the phone was to call him on my mobile, okay, play it over the speaker and hold the phone up to the microphone. So that's why it's not like a typical Zoom or Skype line or a phone line. He's actually on my speaker on my mobile, but it worked, didn't it?
Fingers tightly crossed now.
It was. And after 20 minutes, my arm was aching a bit because I was holding the phone right up close. So here's what happened when we brought Tom in onto the conversation to talk about body cams and whether or not it would be a good idea for referees to use these in the future to help with progression and quite possibly as well to help the prevention of abuse towards referees. And I'd like to welcome to the Referees World podcast, Dr. Tom Webb from Portsmouth University. Tom, welcome to the Referees World podcast.
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
So very quickly, before we go into our discussion, just tell us a bit about yourself, a bit about your background and about your role at the university.
Yeah, so I guess in terms of the podcast, obviously the most relevant information is around my research, which is revolves around sports officials. I conduct research from a multidisciplinary perspective, so sports management related research, psychological, lots of different areas where we publish and work. I created the Referee and Match Official Research Network at the University of Portsmouth, and I manage that network. And that network has enabled us to conduct research, not just in the UK and in one sport, but in countries all around the world and in different sports and things like that, which has really helped develop our understanding of sports officials and their role and from many different perspectives. So, I'm based at the University of Portsmouth and my research is solely focused around sports officials.
I'd like to refer back to a report that we found of yours from December 2018 from a website mm-hmm. called The Week. The title of the post was, "Football's Red Card, Would Body Cameras on Referees Stop the Abuse?" This is a little experiment that I've been trying myself. I'd just like to bring Rich Mellin into the conversation here. Rich, first of all, before we speak to Tom, is this quite a problem?
In what respect do you think it's a problem? Using the camera, yes, we are restricted as regards we are not expected to be able to go out there, officiate with a camera on our chest. It's just not accepted in the football authorities.
And why is that?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. I don't know why it's been banned or, there's a restriction on using them. It's so educational. That's what baffles me. Mm. I look for education. I've had my refereeing career and I look to help referees through whatever means we can actually adopt or adapt and make it, happen for our referees.
So, Tom, over to you. Why is it banned? Why is it not allowed?
Yeah, I think Rich makes a really good point. The orders sort of come from the top, basically. I mean, FIFA and lawmakers associated with FIFA as well, and obviously the leagues and the associations and UEFA and the confederations have decided that they don't want referees wearing body cameras. Now, I think it's a tricky one to see why. I think there's issues around the legality and how the footage might be used. I've heard that argument. So, would it be used in criminal prosecutions? If it was, how? There's issues around sort of data protection and things like that, I believe, as well. But these are the reasons that have been cited. But clearly it's used in other areas, in other walks of life. The police use body cameras on a daily basis, when they're out and they get called to incidents, and that footage is used. And as Richard said, it can be used for training purposes. So I think there's reluctance there because of the way I've seen it described is around the legality and the legal issues that come with it. And there's things around, would people all need to consent if they were playing and being filmed, and would the league need to get the consent from the players? Would it need to be done on a match-by-match basis? I think there's quite a lot of grey areas, and I think that's where, as I understand it, that reluctance comes from, rulemakers, FIFA, IFAB as the rulemakers, and, guardians, custodians of the laws of the game. As I understand it, that's where the reluctance lies.
Yeah, Tom, it's Richard again. The legal side of it as regards, let's say that if there was an assault, I can understand that side of it. But I'm not interested in sort of trying to make that a big sort of heroic idea. What interests me is the learning and the education of our referees and our match officials, and that's why I'd like to be able to use those clips in the situation, because what we are able to do is they will give us selected clips to use for a review and educational evening with referees. So it baffles me a little bit, but I do understand about the legalities of it, and I wouldn't query that. Do you see that there is any opportunity to develop it further? Could we push it further, do you think, in your opinion?
I think so. I think it should be at least investigated further, because Richard, as you said, there are training, advancements that can be made, and we see that with players all the time, don't we? In football, we see, the matches are videoed. Every player, every performance, the analysis team at every club goes through, and with a fine tooth comb, and then picks out certain incidents or plays within the game that the management team, the manager, the coach wants to see, and then relay back to the team as a way of looking at performance and evaluating performance. And I completely get what you're saying. You know, from that perspective, I can see benefits to that, because you can look at a performance of a referee, you know, the basic thing perhaps of, you know, movement of, you know, where they are when they give decisions, how close are they to the action, you know, why have they got that one wrong? Well, you know, your line of sight's not particularly good. You know, there's lots and lots of ways that you could see it being used as a training tool. So I completely get that. And I think that might be the way to go with it, rather than looking at, you know, as you said, there's a lot of, and I said earlier, there's a lot of grey areas around the sort of legislation side of things, and if footage was used in prosecution, perhaps the way to look at it is, well, we think it should be used just as a training tool, you know, and perhaps those other areas would get looked at later if it was successful. But I think there's, you know, from a training perspective, clearly, you know, audiovisual training and development is an accepted way of people developing in sport. You know, and officials are no different in that respect.
Tom, just to say as well, two instances here on which I have used a body camera, and I've had to remove the clips from YouTube because of that and not being able to gain permission. First of all, the response that I had from spectators and players and the teams upon using it on a day was really positive. Interestingly, more so from the spectators. They were saying, and this is very, very lower league level. Now, I'm a level 5, just to give you an example, on the Somerset FA. So it's only sort of grassroots football. But, you know, the people that I spoke to about it when they saw that I was wearing this body camera were all very positive. This is a great idea. I think it could help an awful lot of situations. It could help referees out that perhaps get abused. So why doesn't it get progressed even further? And the other thing that was coming back from that was, well, what's the problem with it? Because most of these big football matches are on TV anyway, so everybody in the world can see what's going on. What's a camera going to do to sort of make that any different?
Yeah, and I completely get those points. I think, you know, if we know at the top level, you know, the games are all televised at the moment. You know, we've seen the fallout from the you know, what's been happening with the Super League and things like that. You can bet if that does go ahead, you know, all of those fixtures are going to be televised all around the world, and everyone's going to see every decision, and they're going to be analysed to the nth degree as we're used to now. So yeah, I can completely understand why people on a you know, Sunday league might look at it and think, well, it's a bit odd, because at the top level, you know, this happens and we see it, and why could it not be used lower down, particularly if it's being used, you know, for training purposes. And there is the argument as well, and I've done a lot of abuse related research with, you know, looking at sports officials and some of the issues that they encounter, and I don't think there's any doubt that it would be a deterrent. I think, you know, someone would think twice if they were, you know, being physically or verbally abusive towards an official. If there was a camera there, if they knew they were being filmed, would they act differently? I think a lot of people would. And perhaps it would help change behaviour. And certainly that's not a bad thing. We know that abuse towards officials in many sports is a problem. And so I can see it being a deterrent. I think that, as I said right at the start, I think the ramifications are around those legal areas, and I think that's where the debate sort of gets bogged down, and certainly from the IFAB perspective, that tends to be, you know, at least one of the reasons that is given for why they won't advance it. And I think it's going to take pressure from governing bodies, from, you know, like people like the FA and referees associations and things like that in various countries to sort of try and push for this to, you know, to at least be trialled, because it hasn't even been trialled.
I just want to jump in there, because when you mentioned the word trial, that's all I think people are looking for, just to give this a go and see if it can help the situation, because a deterrent has got to be helpful for recruitment, retention, participation, all those buzzwords as regards what's probably wrong with the game in places at the moment. We don't have enough participants. There are too many people dropping out from playing, from refereeing. And so consequently, it baffles me that whilst I understand some clubs further down the pyramid, not at the elite level, are actually using match footage for disciplinary hearings. And, you know, they're trying to prove the referee to be wrong. I'm not suggesting that that's what we start doing. We counteract with our piece of video technology against the club's technology. We're looking for it as development to enhance skill sets and, you know, take it on from there.
Yeah, I think, again, Rich, I think that's a fair point. And, I have heard anecdotal reports of clubs using footage and things like that. And, clearly, certainly from our research, sports officials across different sports have highlighted issues with the disciplinary process and feeling like it's, you know, too tilted in the favour of the coach or the players rather than them as officials. And clearly, if clubs are, you know, videoing and using that as evidence or trying to, that only makes that situation more difficult for the officials. So I certainly don't think that should be the case if that is happening. Other things have been trialled, haven't they? Sin bins have been trialled, and we're told those are a big success, and certainly the leagues in which they've been used have said that they believe they've helped. Recruitment and retention is a concern, for players, for referees at the moment, and COVID is sort of heightening that issue, I think, because we've had, a number of almost enforced off-seasons where, retention is the sort of buzzword, as you say, because we're trying to keep as many referees as we can and recruit to balance off the ones that leave and things like that. But we've had these enforced and elongated breaks. And so, that's a real concern. Are we going to lose more over those time periods because of those breaks?
And so for that reason, just going back to the retention side of things, for that reason, to have something like a body cam would help give a more positive light on refereeing so that it doesn't scare people off. For example, we had a chap that emailed the podcast a couple of weeks ago, started refereeing when he was 15 back in Wales, and he got punched by a player. And because of that, he stepped out of the game for some 15, 20 years. He's coming back into it now. But because of that, if he'd had a camera on at the time, then that maybe wouldn't have happened. And particularly with the youngsters, you want these youngsters to come through the system feeling confident and without going away, not only with injuries, but psychological, mental health issues off the back of what could potentially happen during a game.
Yeah, I mean the mental health implications of abuse and things are, it's something we don't fully understand. We've published a couple of papers on that and research studies on that, and we're just starting to look at it, but it's a massively under-researched area. But if someone, on a basic level, if someone is abused verbally, physically, the likelihood is there'll be some sort of consequence. Now, that differs from individual to individual because we all deal with these things differently. But, in general, there will be some sort of fallout. And, and obviously it depends on the severity of the abuse and the physicality of it, or, how aggressive it is. And there's lots of variables there. But mental health is a real concern in those situations, absolutely, Darren. And, I think anything that can be done to reduce abuse towards sports officials, it should be considered. And as you say, that we hear about these incidents all the time. It's not a new thing. And I think that's, we've got to start to try and tackle it and be really serious about tackling it as well, because, the situation can't continue as it is. And I think you'll be aware, going back, saying about making these environments safer and inviting for these young officials that come in, or new officials. And the environment at the moment is very different to what it was 18 months ago because of COVID, because of the restrictions and things that we're asked to do, just to play a game of football now. That environment is probably a bit more daunting just in itself. So I think anything we can do to sort of help and almost make that a bit more inviting is something that we should consider.
Tom, before we finish, first of all, I'd just like to say thank you very much for taking time out at such short notice. I know you've got a meeting to go to right now, so
right.
we appreciate that. Just very quickly, how is the book doing? Because I think you released a book, was it in January, I think it was? Because I think we were going to discuss it on the podcast, but then there was a slight delay. How is the book going? And for those that don't know what it is, just give it a little plug.
Yeah, so it was released end of last year, and the book is all around the abuse of sports officials. It's looking at implications for policy and how we can, well, basically change the situation that exists across different sports. It's a book that focuses globally. So we conducted research and engaged with over 8,000 sports officials in different countries, different sports, and then we conducted further research in different areas of the world, in Australia, New Zealand, America, looking at the abuse and the situation that's arisen in those countries as well, and just to understand a bit more about why these issues exist. And then the book sort of culminates, really, the last chapter focuses on what we can do to change the situation. There's a 10-point plan which is developed from the research findings. There's coverage as well of areas of good practice, of policy interventions that have really been beneficial and worked, because we thought that was really important. We wanted to focus on some of the areas that have really, helped sports officials. And, because it's quite easy to look at these things negatively. And I think sometimes we need to look at and acknowledge some of the really good stuff that's going on. So we looked all around the world for those areas of good practice and included those as well. And it's been really, really well received. Yeah, we've had really good feedback and engaged with a number of different organisations and things as a result of that as well, and also the other research. So, it's gone really well since its launch.
And is there a section to do with body cams in there?
Not specifically on body cams, no. We focused on abuse in particular, and sort of we really wanted to get a picture of what's happening around the world, basically. And also because I think we and it's natural, but we sort of always tend to focus on our own countries and our own sports, and sometimes looking out is also useful, and understanding that actually there's not just an issue in football, there's issues in other sports as well and in other countries, and sometimes understanding that and what they've done to try and combat the problem and can help, and also vice versa, what's worked in football. Some county FAs are doing really innovative stuff, and we included a couple of those things in the book as well, so we wanted to sort of focus on the issues, but then end the book with a sort of, right, what can we do? It's not all doom and gloom. Let's focus on some of the initiatives and policy implications that have been really successful, and look at how we can tackle some of these issues.
And for those that don't know what the book is called, you might as well share it all with us now.
Yeah, so it's published with Routledge, and the book is called, 1 minute, I'll just look it up, Referees, Match Officials and Abuse, Research and Implications for Policy.
I love the fact you can't remember the name of the book you read.
My assumption to that is Tom has written so many books, he can't remember which one.
I'm terrible with stuff like that. I got asked them, couple of radio programs and stuff and things like that, and they're like, yeah, exactly the same, and I was like, right, yeah, let me just look that one up. Just terrible with sort of names and stuff.
Brilliant. Dr. Tom Webb, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Referees World podcast.
No problem, guys, thanks for having me.
Thanks very much, Tom.
The download is complete.
This is Referees World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.